There are certain things I don't want to say, Mpume, I had an audible voice or whatever the case is. Yeah. But I remember in my spirit receiving the words, what did I call you for?
Mm.
And I knew at that time that in my heart of hearts, I'm an educator.
Yeah. Hello, Wisdom and Wellness family. Welcome to another episode. Thank you so, so much for joining me. Today's episode is with someone incredible that I met last year in October. And I think we were walking by the beach and you started sharing your story with me. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're so inspiring. You need to come to my podcast. I'm sitting with Mlu. You will know him if you have probably just completed your matric, which I know I've got a lot of students here. But he's a dedicated and award-winning educator dedicated to math, science, I think technology, engineering, and he provides career guidance and a YouTube Black alumni and recently just opened a Maths and Science Center.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
It's such a great thing to be with you.
We spoke like last year, October, and I was like, oh, you should come to the podcast, and we're literally doing it a year later.
Well, I guess when the time is right.
When the time is right. Let's get into some icebreakers. What is the last good series or movie that you watched?
Yo, there's a movie that I watched. It's called Rockefeller.
Rockefeller?
Yeah.
Okay. My husband didn't say anything about it, so I don't know. Did he? Did you say anything about it? Nah, he didn't, so I don't trust your movie. What is it about?
Look, at the end of the day, I like movies that are part... history, okay. A little bit of science,
okay,
here and
that's
there.
Why. Yeah, that's so why.
My movie choices are really weird.
Okay. And series? Do you watch series?
Yeah, now and then. But okay. I think the one that I really enjoyed was Suits.
Suits.
Yeah.
Suits is from... What's the last season that came out? A long time ago.
So that's how far back.
That tells me the full story. I actually liked Suits for... What was that lady's name? I forgot her... She became partner.
Oh, yeah. I think what she was...
the black lady.
Yeah.
I loved
remember.
Her outfit. So that's why I watched the Suits.
Yeah.
Okay. First thing
I love the suits.
You like the suits. Okay, cool. First thing you do when you get up?
Pray.
Pray. Yeah. Not pick up your phone.
Look, now and then, you know, I fall off that habit. But yeah, I think the first thing that I do is always, you know, just thank God.
Yeah.
Just do my devotions,
and
you know, just try to assess myself, you know, set myself up for the day.
Do you pray in like bed, like thank you Jesus, the eyes still closed, or do you actually get out and you have like a spot where you do your meditation?
Look, it depends. It depends on the day. Fortunately, we've got a 5 o'clock prayer.
Okay,
that we have at our church.
Yeah.
So I join in with that on Facebook,
yeah.
Right? And yeah, essentially that's it.
You know a person is dedicated when they can join the online. Like I think a lot of us during lockdown, we were joining the online prayers, but as lockdown ended, it's like... Yeah.
So fortunately, we carried on the momentum, you know, because I think we had more reach with the online
prayer. With the online prayers.
Yeah, and we've carried on with that momentum because... Yeah. I mean, more people actually benefit out of it.
It works.
Yeah.
If you could sit next to someone in a flight, right? Someone who inspires you, or even someone you just like admire, like your favorite celebrity, who would it be? And would you talk to them? Or would you just like be nervous and keep quiet the whole time?
So I think in my character, I'm an ambivert, right?
Yeah.
So there's a bit of extrovert nyana, you know, and a bit of introvert nyana. So who would it be? Do they have to be alive now?
No, they don't have to be alive.
Okay. It would have to be Ubab Nelson Mandela.
Really? Oh, that is cliche. That is very cliche. Okay.
Yeah. One, because I believe he was a man of conviction.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that people of conviction change the world.
Sure.
Yeah. So sure. I really love people who live out their conviction.
Yeah.
You know? Whatever that conviction is,
Unfortunately,
sometimes conviction can go...
It looks different, yeah.
Yeah, tip over to, you know, the bad things.
Yeah.
But, I think anything that has someone who is who has conviction,
yeah,
I definitely have a great conversation with.
So you would have a conversation. You wouldn't just ignore him. I feel like all the time, if I like sit next to like my ideal person, yeah. I don't know if I'd have the courage to say something. Like I feel like I'd just sit there and like hope that they turn around and ask me a question. But we spoke briefly about your journey. Last year, and I was obviously very inspired. And I'm gonna ask you to tell the story, but you basically started a YouTube channel in 2020, right? Yeah. At what age?
And sure, now I have to be my mathematician.
Yeah, be a mathematician.
So I was what, 37?
At like 37, yeah, right? Yeah. And you did it for the sole purpose of just helping people, like you weren't trying to be a YouTuber.
I was not trying to be a YouTuber at all. In fact, I didn't even know about some of the features, monetization, anything like that.
Yeah.
I just identified a problem at the time.
Yeah.
And I had the conviction. You see?
There's that conviction thing.
Conviction to, you know, to want to help.
Yeah.
Given the, you know, the landscape in terms of education in our country, there's such a lot of gaps. And, you know, even if our government is trying to really help and assist with the limited resources that they have, I mean, I think it takes people like you and I,
to really do something.
And that was my contribution. In fact, it found me at a time at the lowest point of my life, you know, where I felt like there's a whole lot of things that I'd lost about myself.
Yeah.
And I think something was just ignited to want to help.
Yeah.
And essentially that's my journey into YouTube.
So where were you? In fact, I want to know about your career. Like, where did your career, I mean, you've got maths and you've got science. You could literally be anything. So where did your career start and how, and I think take me through the journey and even mentioning the parts of what was making you so low that you found a space where you could serve other people.
Yeah, sure. Where do I start? So I finished my high school, right, with maths and science. But I'd actually not done well.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were like a student.
I should have been.
Okay.
But I think there was something in me that really believed that that was really not my potential.
Sure.
Right? So actually, I had to go back and do maths and science again, right?
So you had to, did you repeat matric or just go and supplement the
subjects?
Yeah,
so just the subjects, right? Just the
what
maths
did you
and
get
science.
For maths and science?
Before,
yeah,
after.
before. I quite like let me not say it's okay.
So back then,
yeah,
it was called E. I think that's level. That's like what
in
level,
percentage?
Level 3. So that would be. I think it was in the 40s, if I remember. Yeah. It was that bad.
Continue.
For my maths, I got a B, but it was in standard grade.
Okay.
So that kind of tells you my age, right?
Yeah.
I did say 37 three years ago, so you can do the math.
Yeah.
Yeah, so fast forward the journey. Then I really came back full circle, you know, really did well in maths and science to the point where I gained entry into engineering. I studied, that's what I studied.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my profession.
Sure.
Engineering, right? But I remember this was in my third year at university. Now, because I used to tutor now and then, in my third year at university, I remember looking at a graduation ceremony, you know, and, you know, at the University of Pretoria, I was at UP. Looking at a graduation ceremony, and for me, it was just ultra white.
Sure.
There was really, I mean, in a country that is majority black,
it's
you know,
sad.
Really it was sad for me to witness that, you know, we have this democracy, but at the end of the day, we're not seeing it filter down, you know, to the normal guy on the street. And I think that's when the conviction to go into education came about. Okay. Now, fast forward. I worked in the engineering sector.
So you graduated, finished,
sector. And got into the engineering sector. But now the thing about it is that I actually did not love it.
Sure.
I just could not connect.
Sure.
And, you know, at the end of the day, I just realized that I wanted to make a change. I wanted to make a difference.
Yeah.
And I got into education, started, you know, very in a very informal way.
Yeah.
Right. From my mom, my grandmother's backyard.
So you left an engineering career. Mm. And I can imagine engineers make decent, like good money.
They do.
Like good,
they do.
Good money. And you left that to go into education, but you started in your grandmother's backyard.
I did. It was really informal. I didn't really see myself as a teacher at the time. I was really tutoring people, just helping them, you know, to do well in their, especially those who were upgrading, because that's my journey, right?
Sure.
Because I remember that how difficult it was. And, you know, it's one thing to really... you know, be fresh out of high school and really know what you are trying to do with your life. But when you've had a setback, you know, it's really difficult for you to figure out where to from here.
And you need a lot of support
and encouragement
to keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So now that transition, and I'm just talking from a money perspective, feeling validated perspective, how did you handle the change? Because I mean, we like talking stories about, oh, I left, and I speak a lot about when I dropped out of university, and now it sounds like, oh, what an inspiring story. But I had to live through those moments of there's no highlight. Like, it's just like, what did I do? Like, did you ever get to a point where you felt like, oh, I know I want to make a change, but my life was comfortable and now I'm in this place and I don't know like what it's gonna look like?
Sure. You know, this is the first time I'm having to answer this question.
Yeah.
Honestly, people don't understand that, you know, to have impact sometimes comes at great personal cost.
And most times.
And yeah, absolutely. And that really was my journey, you know.
Sure.
I remember that during this process, when I had taken this decision, my mom really took ill at the time.
Sure.
You know, she fell ill. Eventually she passed on.
Oh.
And you can imagine how the guilt that I had, that I couldn't really do anything for her,
sure.
You know, because I am now not earning,
not earning an income,
you know? Mm. I don't really have a stable job. I do want to make a change, but at the end of the day, I have limited resources as well, you know? So it really is something that is a part of my journey.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things that you look at and, you know, when people celebrate in hindsight, you know what it took.
What it took.
Yeah,
what it
took. For one to have the kind of impact that they've had in people's lives. But I guess it is what it is.
When I, during my process of dropping out, there's a book that I read by Bishop Jakes. I think it's called Soul. And there's a part where, have you read that book?
I've read the book.
There's a part where he says, sometimes God has to ruffle the nest so that you can get out, right? And that spoke to me so much.
No,
that
you have to say it in classic Bishop T.D. Jakes style.
I read it so long ago. I think it's over like 9 years. But he basically said that when a bird wants to teach its baby to fly,
absolutely.
He ruffles the nest so that it doesn't have a comfortable place to come back to.
Absolutely.
And for me, in that moment when I was leaving school and leaving everything I know to be right,
you know,
I know to be the journey, it felt like this discomfort where is, even if I try to stay here, God does not want me here. Like, it's just, it might look like the place to be for everybody else and outside looking in, but I know the vision. I'm in my body.
Yeah.
I'm in the place.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the discomfort.
You're feeling it, yeah.
I'm the one who's being kicked out.
Yeah.
So I can imagine how you felt that even when you were trying to basically exit that the space.
You can imagine you've formed relations with people.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't really go around explaining yourself to everyone. Right. So for some time, the journey was really lonely.
Lonely, very lonely.
Yeah. Because on the one hand, even as you're trying to help people, you don't have a community.
Sure.
You know, I don't know teachers. I don't know people who are trying to do what I do.
Mm.
I just had my friend that I was doing it with, you know, at the time. So even at that time, it really felt like a lonely journey.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, it is what it was, right?
You had the grace for it.
I believe that, as you're talking about the ruffling of the feather,
yeah,
this is what really gave me wings so that I could soar.
That's it.
You know? It really is about that.
Yeah. You just T.D. Jakeson. That's how he would say. Like,
I just didn't do it in the voice.
yeah. He gave me the wings so I could soar. But now, obviously, you stay in your teaching of the back room. And we're going to stay here quite long because I want the journey.
Absolutely.
So then what happens? How do you continue? And do you have a family by this time?
I
married?
No.
Not
yet. I'm not married. Okay. No, not yet.
That's a good time to make some risks.
Yeah, so I'm not married at the time, but I am in somewhat of a relationship.
Yeah.
But not really sure about it because, you know, you're not earning an income.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a stable income as a man. you understand. And really, I also am trying to find myself in the journey, you know, and I think that's why I appreciate, you know, my journey so much, because part of it, you know, you then have no other choice but to get close to God.
Yeah.
You know, because he's the only solace that you can find, you know, a place of solace that one could find. And honestly speaking, I remember that even with my family, I mean, at home, they were really confused about it. Sometimes they thought, you know, maybe this guy is lazy. He just doesn't want to work,
sure,
you know.
Sure.
Perhaps this guy is just, you know, delusional. And it really affected my relationships at home, right? Here you are, you're trying to do something and, you know, sometimes, because people don't understand what you're trying to achieve. And it's really, that's why I've come to appreciate everyone that's starting out on a journey, you know. I really get myself close. If people come to me and they say, look, this is what I have a conviction about, really, I feel sorry, first of all, for that person.
Yeah, it's just like,
because I know the journey.
It's about to be a lonely one.
Yes, it's about to be a lonely one.
Sure.
And really, when you're a person of vision, vision will really be tested.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it really will require you to have mental strength, fortitude, you know, the ability to fight through, you know, certain hurdles that you come across along the way.
And even sit through the silence, the waiting periods, because those are very prominent.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you ever find yourself angry? And I know your faith is very important to in your relationship with God. Did you ever find yourself angry at God, or maybe feel like you haven't heard from God, especially while dealing with the loss of your mother? And when you speak about people saying you're lazy, I can understand that, because I think as human beings, you see someone with how you've got a degree, unumsebenzi, like why would you just leave? From the outside, if you don't really understand, it's like you are lazy. Like there's opportunities, why aren't you taking them? So did you ever find yourself angry at God or feel like maybe I missed it?
Mm. Sure. You know, I want to answer this cautiously, but I don't want to be guarded, you know.
Yeah.
I'd love for people to know about this journey.
Yeah.
When my mom passed on, you know, I think for me that was a very confusing period, because I want to tell you that it's not like she was sick to the point of death.
Sure.
I took her to the hospital that day, right?
Mm.
Took her to the hospital in the morning and, you know, just said goodbye. I just have to go and work and I'll see you later. You know, assuming, of course, I'll see her later, right?
Yeah.
She didn't look like someone who was going to pass away on that day.
Yeah.
I come back. In fact, no. I got a call from the hospital, right? And they said, you know, of course they were looking for me. And I said, yeah, I am the one. Mm-hmm. Okay. And they said, so unfortunately, are you with someone there? It's unfortunate that your mom has passed on. And I thought, I actually was in denial.
Sure.
Right? Because I know the person I left.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
She wasn't dying.
She was fine.
I actually said, you know what, I was going to come back, because she was going for treatment at the hospital.
Mm.
You know, she had diabetes, right? But, you know, for me, it wasn't a question of, you know, if I might.
I understand.
You understand?
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, when I went back to the hospital, I was like, no. I think you're mistaken.
Sure.
That's not it. It's the
you've
wrong person.
Some.
Yeah,
yeah.
You've confused the person that I came with. The person that I brought here to hospital, her name is, and they kept saying, no, that's the one. Hmm. She's passed on. They said, no, she was on that bed. I said, no, man, please just go and check somewhere else. She probably is there. You know, maybe it's your booking system or whatever the case is. Maybe there's a confusion somewhere. So imagine that point where I have to try and, you know, I kept waiting that night to get a call back from the hospital telling me, sorry, man, you know, we made a mistake, you know. And it wasn't coming. And time kept on moving. And for me, it became even more confusing. Because now I want to know what killed her, right? Because the person that I brought there wasn't dying.
Was going for treatment.
I tell you, the journey after, I was really angry with God. I was really angry with God. I had so many confusing questions, you know? Because it was the same with my dad.
Sure.
Just some years back.
Sure.
Right? It seems like, you know, this thing had just come back to haunt me 9 years later, right? So I was really angry.
Sure.
Why us? Why now? You know, I'll tell you the honest truth. There was a time, there really was a time where I had lost a taste for life, you know. I just really wanted to disconnect from everything. I just wanted to go, you know?
Yeah.
Particularly at home, you know, I'm the one that they rely on.
Yeah.
Not necessarily breadwinner, but, you know, I'm
like
that
Tim
big...
your poster child.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm the first one to have completed school, right? I'm the first one, you know, I'm the first in so many things. And so they rely on me for... So at that moment... When this happens, everyone looks at you for answers.
And
you need to have answers, you know, what happens next, what happens now, and so on. And honestly speaking, that really was a tough time in my life.
Sure.
Grieving my mom's passing really took me about 4 years, right? I didn't realize that I had held in so much anger and, anger within me. That I held back emotionally. I was disconnected.
Yeah.
I think even now, you know, there's a part of me that still is healing from that.
Yeah. Someone said it. I can't remember who it was. I think it was Connie Ferguson who spoke about grief. That you never stop grieving, but grief comes in waves.
Yeah.
And she's learned that when that wave hits you, she sits in it and she gets hit by the wave. And then sometimes you wake up and you tell the story with joy and you think of the person with joy and you laugh. And then sometimes it hits you with you're gone. Like you feel the pain and the emotion. So, but I'm glad you open up about it and how you're still dealing with it, because I think it's important. And it's such an important conversation on my podcast, because I realize when a lot of people come and talk about grief, there's so many people who can relate, but they don't know that they are allowed to feel emotion. They're allowed to feel angry, because it's almost like with grief, you're not allowed to be angry. You're supposed to be sad and whatever. But I want to know, is that losing your parents at a young age and the way you did, is that why you've almost, one of the reasons you've dedicated your whole life to supporting other children, and I think mostly disadvantaged children?
Yeah. I'm not sure if the two are really completely related.
Yeah.
Because remember, at the time, I still had my parents when I made this decision. Well, I still had my mom rather when I made the decision. The disappointment really was losing her at that time, when she has not really seen what vision, you know, will become.
Sure.
And for me, you know, that was such a disappointment. But I truly believe, I am of the opinion, you know, this adage that we always use, that it takes a village to raise a child.
Yeah.
And for me, that's why I like being called favorite uncle,
favorite
right?
Favorite uncle,
because
yeah.
again, it comes back to this thing about family,
yeah.
you know? We all family.
Yeah.
We all connected in one way or the other.
Yeah.
And I truly believe that, you know, if each one of us, you know, just like I said before, each one of us making a small change in someone's life,
yeah.
you know, can really make
a world of a difference.
Yeah. You know?
I always think that children just need to be seen. Like, ngiyakubona konke, I think just, if someone can just see a child, it will change a lot. Because, you know, in like school, you have the, hi, she likes attention. No, she just wants to be seen. Mm. But we dismiss that.
Mm.
And so going back to your journey. So now how did you come? So you got into education, back room. And then I think you did go into a classroom, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So now from grandmother's back room, there's a principal at a school close by. Who then approached me
yeah.
and said, hey, all the kids that are doing well at my school
come
have been
you.
Raving about you.
Wow.
I want you at my school.
Sure.
You know? So at the time, I'm not a qualified teacher.
Yeah.
You know?
You're an engineer.
So the principal says, look, there's a course at WITS, mm-hmm. right? So you can go and do a course called PGCE.
Yes.
That was my journey. So I did that with WITS. And I really, for the first time, I really enjoyed being at university.
Wow.
Yeah.
For the first time?
For the first time. Because honestly, when I was still studying engineering, I'd gotten advice, you know, because you have these
yeah,
qualities and,
yeah.
you know, you're good at maths and so on. Engineering would be really best suited for you. But yay, Isaiah Kala.
Yes.
No, it's Kala. And honestly speaking, I think for the first time I enjoyed, you know, being in that course because it resonated with who
you,
I am.
With
you know,
who you are, yeah.
Instead of working with machines and systems,
yeah.
I'm working with people, right?
Yeah.
Whom I can touch and feel and have an impact on.
Sure.
I can see the immediate results
sure.
of what I'm doing,
sure.
right? And I'm good at it.
Yeah.
They love me. We love each other.
It's just love.
It's just love yeah. all around.
Yeah. And then so you get into teaching, teach.
I teach. So now, fast forward,
yes.
COVID
happened. Comes. You're still a teacher.
I'm still a teacher,
yes.
right? But we're locked down,
yeah.
right? And honestly speaking, teaching and learning is disrupted in the
yeah.
country.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really had come to a point where I was really well known, let me say, in my community.
Okay.
Yeah, for the work that I do, for the quality of results that I produce.
Yeah.
And as a result, I tell my learners at the school that where I was teaching, I tell my learners, look, we have to make a plan.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the plan was, you know, that's weird thinking about it now.
Yeah.
So the plan was, we already have a WhatsApp group, right?
Yeah.
So I was going to record videos using my phone,
yeah.
right? And send them via WhatsApp.
That is dedication and a half. Sure.
Right? But the file sizes are so huge
yeah.
that I can't really send them through via WhatsApp unless, you know, they're so big,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And so the next best thing is just to publish these over on YouTube.
But you right? were publishing for your class.
For my class, right?
Wow.
But then I knew at the time when I was curating the content
yeah.
that perhaps other people will find it.
Yeah.
And honestly, do you want me to be
truthful
and to open up about
open
this?
Open up. I need the truth.
I said to God, look, I really have exhausted everything that I have.
Mm.
I've given of myself for so many years.
Mm.
I'm grieving. I'm in pain. I've gone through so much as a person. I had said to God, you know what? Perhaps this is my last contribution to the world. Allow me to go home.
Hi, Bo.
I'm telling you. You know, that's the story that I've never told.
Sure.
And God being God, you know?
Yeah.
There are certain things, I don't want to say, Pume, I had an audible voice or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
But I remember in my spirit receiving the words, what did I call you for?
Mm.
And I knew at that time that in my heart of hearts, I'm an educator.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher. That's my calling.
Yeah.
And that's the YouTube channel. That's the journey of the YouTube channel.
Sure.
Right? I start curating this content, and I know that it's going to impact someone's child out there.
Yeah. But I'm sure you're not thinking 100,000
views.
You're probably thinking 50, because my class has 50.
I am thinking of some child in Limpopo somewhere being able to see this lesson and, it's able to help them. And someday, they will become something great in the world.
Yeah.
And it will be through my contribution, which I still believe, right? But I'm not thinking 100,000. I'm not thinking national impact. I'm not seeing, international
impact. International recognition, impact.
Recognition even, I'm not there. That's not why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Sure. So if I hear you correctly, when you were curating those videos, you were basically saying, I've got nothing else to give. This is it.
This is it. This is who I am. At the core of who I am, this is the gift that God has given me.
Sure.
And I'm going to make sure that as many people can benefit out of it.
Do you think there is a connection between that place of, because it sounds like a place of surrender, that place of surrender and I guess a turnaround or a finding of that purpose again? I ask this because I think we search so much for purpose. We're so desperate for purpose. We're desperate for moments.
Mm.
And I've often found in a lot of people's stories that at that moment where you stop looking for it, it's as if God says, okay, you're ready.
Okay.
You're ready.
It really felt exactly like that. I think when people look at the work that I do now and, the accolades that one has been able to obtain, they look at that. But for me at that point, I don't want fame.
Yeah.
I don't want fortune. Yeah. I don't have fortune. I'm just a teacher.
Just a teacher.
With a dream,
Yeah.
At that point, I am fully yielded to God's plan for my life. Mm. What I truly believe and convicted in my heart is God's plan,
You know what's my favorite part of your story and why I found it so important to share is that when we share and celebrate people living in their purpose, it's people who are on stage, people who are singing, preaching, have podcasts. But and I think we've likened ministry and God using you to that. And for you to come and say, God said, what have I called you to? And you can explicitly say to teach, to educate maths and science. That's I think that is so liberating. And I hope it liberates a whole lot of people that our callings are not outside of who
we are. Absolutely. Absolutely. I cannot emphasize that. And I think that's why I love my journey so much.
Yeah.
Because it has highlighted the importance that when I think about God, I think we sometimes linearize him, and think that he's only, invested in our spiritual life.
Yes, in church.
So you must be a prayerful person. You must go to church, 7 days a week or whatever, but honestly speaking, God, it's a holistic package.
Yes. Yes.
That he would call someone into the ministry, and I want to call it that, the ministry of a teacher.
Yeah.
And there's so much that I can unpack now, and I'm hoping that at a later stage I'll be able to, to pen down my reflections about really the heart of a teacher, what the heart of a teacher is.
Yeah.
I can tell you so much because there's nothing for me that gives me joy. There's nothing that gives me a sense of purpose and satisfaction.
Yeah.
That really makes my heart content. Seeing the life of a learner
change. When you speak about the heart of a teacher, I think of my two parts, and I want you to unpack a little bit about the heart of a teacher. I had a conversation with justice, and he spoke about his, and he had dyslexia and he didn't know that he had it. Wow. And so his experience of a teacher was bullying. Sure. Right, where, you know, when you're in school and there's no diagnosis and it's not like a middle class school and you've been called dumb and no attention. So there's that element and there's that aspect. And then I also look at my side, I can think of one particular teacher, Mrs. Doberman, who was so important in my life, who affirmed me, who encouraged me to get on stage, who saw things in me that I could never see. Yeah. And I think that's what you speak about in the heart of it. Because you are the seed. Like, you plant the seed in children.
I always say that, you know, that God gives us these fresh gardens.
Mm.
And ours, our mission is just simple, right?
Mm.
Make sure that you tend to this garden.
Sure.
You sow the right seeds.
Sure.
You might probably not live long enough to see them come to, you know, give the fruits or
fruition.
Enjoy even the fruits, you know, that come from these trees, seeds that you've planted.
Yeah.
And honestly speaking, you're satisfied from just the feeling of knowing that you've sown the right kind of seeds.
Sure. What a responsibility. it's honestly such a responsibility, like, to know that it is in your, it is part, like, it's part of your hands, like someone's future. If they live aligned to God, if they become who God has destined them to be, it has to pass through your hands.
Absolutely. And so I want to encourage other people who may be feeling like they are the outlier, you know, they're the odd one.
Yeah.
That if you're finding yourself with this responsibility, it's not anything that is strange. Think about teaching.
Yeah.
The teachers are hardly celebrated.
Hardly.
And that's why they are in my heart so much.
Yeah.
And perhaps if we get the time, I'll tell you about the programs that we have, you know, for teachers.
Yeah.
Teachers are so in my heart.
Yeah.
Because they're hardly celebrated. Think about their remuneration.
Yeah, my mom's a teacher, so I understand.
Please.
Yeah.
They, you know, someone made an example or they were talking about teaching in a metaphorical way.
Mm.
And they said it's like a candle.
Mm.
That the more it lights up the room, it consumes itself.
Sure.
That's exactly what it is.
Wow.
That the more light that you put out there, you're consuming.
You give
off of yourself. So when you find teachers during holidays not wanting to do anything else, it's because they have given so much of themselves to the many souls.
Sure.
They've been responsible to ignite so many flames inside the hearts of children.
Yeah.
You know? And unfortunately, hardly anyone else pours into them, back into them.
Sure.
And for me, I think that's one of the things that I've taken as a personal task.
Responsibility,
That I am going to celebrate teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then your YouTube channel makes it. You get over 100,000 subscribers. Woo! And then you get into YouTube Black. And I remember seeing you and I wondered, did you ever feel out of place? Like, what am I doing with these kids, these vloggers? Like, what am I doing here?
Oh my, I thought you wouldn't ask.
I have to ask. It's an important question because it's the truth. And it's important because we think that wherever God takes us or whatever the purpose is, like, you just fit in red carpet to go nandi, but it's not always the case.
Actually, I still do, you know.
Sure.
I just came from an event this past Saturday, right? And it's like,
what am I doing?
What am I doing? You know, but I truly believe God has a sense of humor.
Yeah.
Right? That I couldn't have thought
in
a million years
you couldn't have dreamed
that the journey would take me that direction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Here I am with a plethora of young people, right? There's a lot of young people around, you know, Ngumalume.
Yeah, you know, our favorite.
You know, and they're content creators.
Yeah.
You know, look, I still don't see myself as a content creator, right? But look, it is. I am on YouTube, right? And I tell you, for me, it still is one of the strangest things to this day.
So it's still not like...
It's still not like, you know, me getting in there and saying, yeah, but now me have got a YouTube channel.
Yeah, like in Ilana, my friend.
You must respect.
Yeah, you know? It's still very...
It still feels somewhat of, you know, this journey continues to somewhat be strangely lonely.
Yeah.
You know? Because now I'm thrown into another space.
Yeah, where you don't belong.
Unfamiliar territory, right? Mm. But I still know that there's a purpose there, right?
Yeah.
I know that God has put me into that space so that I can meet people like yourself, so that we could have this conversation, right? So that other people who perhaps feel the way that I do can find themselves and know that there's nothing wrong with them.
Sure.
When they feel this little flicker, you know, inside their souls that says, I'm called into a space that's unfamiliar, that has nothing to do with church. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. It still is a call from
God.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
I know you're big on like health and like gym and wellness. Do you make sure that you instill that in the children that you educate? And I can imagine that, like, I actually want to understand your whole health journey and why is it so important? Because I remember when we were in Cape Town, like, I think you even went to gym. And I'm like, you know, I thought I'm a dedicated person, but you're like dedicated. So what's with your wellness, your whole wellness and health journey?
I think first of all, both my mom and dad were at some point had type 2 diabetes. So I'm mindful of the fact that, you know, genetically, I have to be guarded, right?
Sure. Yeah.
But at the same time, I also want to enjoy good health.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look good.
Yeah, look good for you.
But it is something that I truly believe that God has put me in a strange platform.
Yeah.
I'm a teacher,
yeah.
You know, traditional in the traditional sense. But I think as well, as people look into my life, I'm also a teacher in other ways.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
That it's possible to live a life of purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
But within a life of purpose, there should still be other things that you take care of, your body being
your body.
One of them.
Yeah.
Because we only have one body.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right? Like the one thing and you can't get another one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if it checks out, that's it.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah.
So If I really want to have impact, if I truly want, so for me it's a holistic thing.
Yeah.
That if I really want to make sure that I can still deliver, that I still want to have longevity in terms of, you know, the impact and the work that I do, it has to be done within. It has to be carried by this body.
Yeah, and you can't separate it.
You can't separate that.
Yeah. Are you able to separate yourself from your students? Like, if you know that you've given your best and someone does not deliver, are you able to take yourself out of it, or are you a therapist who takes their clients home?
It's difficult.
Yeah.
It's difficult. And I've had to accept over time that perhaps for some people, the lesson may come later.
Sure.
Yeah. And I've had that over time. Where, you know, you've tried to pour yourself out into someone, and look, they of course, you know, they accept and they, you know, they you see changes.
Yeah.
But it's not, they really don't give themselves their, you know, fully to their potential.
Yeah.
Right? And it's always a sore point for me
because
I know what it takes. I know the sacrifice it takes for me to pour myself into someone's life.
Yeah.
But I've had to accept that people's journeys are different, right?
Yeah.
Their journey is also, I'm also in a journey, right? That I have to accept that, you know, different lessons will be learned at different times.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a savior.
You're not a savior.
I'm as human as everyone else is,
and
right?
And I also believe even Christ, he doesn't forcefully save. We've got free will.
Free will.
And a person has to be willing to take the help.
Yeah.
What lesson has taken you the longest to learn?
The longest lesson I'll tell you has been to fully accept who I am.
Okay.
Yeah. To be comfortable in my own skin.
Sure.
That my journey is exactly that. My journey.
When you say comfortable in your own skin, do you mean it from a physical perspective or inward personality, emotions?
So imagine this, Mbumine. You've now had to journey from engineering now into teaching, and people don't understand why you made that decision, right?
Yeah.
It's only now that I've got my friends who are engineers and who are, you know, in you know, the other professions, saying, okay, now we understand.
We see
what you are doing, right? But think about that journey, right? And the many hurdles that you've had to come through.
Yeah.
And every time someone asks you,
Ish.
Who are you, right? And I have to explain all the time. Yeah, no, you see, and unfortunately, I had not embraced fully that I am an educator. I am a teacher,
sure,
right? But I tell you, in this phase of my life, I'm so
content.
I
can see. Yeah, you're oozing comfortable with
Listen,
myself.
This is who I am.
Do you think it comes with age and experience?
I think it comes with, yes, age and experience, but it also comes with an encounter.
Okay.
Yeah. When you finally realize a vision that stayed in your heart come to some level of fruition.
Yeah.
And I know, I mean, this is only just the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't know what this journey has in store for me.
Yeah.
I mean, God has thrown so many surprises at me. For me, when you begin to see flickers of a vision come to pass, for me, I've come to realize that, you know what? That not only this journey has been a responsibility for me, but I realize that within it I carry the hopes of others.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I there are people who still feel like they're in obscurity somewhere.
Yeah.
And I know that part of this journey
is
to help them, you know, to accept who they are.
Yeah.
You know,
however
they may feel, you know, like they are the odd one out. Perhaps some of them may have even failed, right? At some point, like I did, that it isn't the end.
Yeah.
There's still something that they can leverage out of that failure.
I always say, and I've been saying it quite a lot, that I think our greatest ministry and our greatest work comes from our place of insecurity. Like your heart for people who've failed and who don't.
Say that again.
No, I always make people say it again. And now I don't remember what I said. But honestly, the only way you could have so much empathy, love, and passion for something is if you know how it feels.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, it's just not that important.
Yeah.
You posted on Instagram, sometimes it's good to look back and move forward. What did you mean? I need you to elaborate on that.
Whoa. You know, sometimes I look at this journey.
Yeah.
And look at the many things. I'm too far gone now.
Mm.
You know, if someone were to try and convince me to be anything else, askies. This is
yet.
I am who I am.
Yeah.
I think this is the same point where Paul, you know, got to a point where he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am.
Mm.
And this grace was not without vain, was not in vain, right?
Yeah.
He says, but I labored more than anyone else.
Mm.
But it was not I, but it's the grace of God in me.
Sure.
You know? So I'm just saying, as I look back, right? I realize that I've been through so much.
Yeah.
This journey has thrown so many things at me, and I've had opportunities to quit.
Yeah.
But I'm too far gone now.
Too far gone.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
This is my legacy.
I guess it's a good way to look back, because I think when you do come across adversity again, you can always look back and think, "Hey, bo,
absolutely,
we're not stopping. We're not stopping here."
Exactly.
As someone who was ready to give up their life,
yeah,
what do you know about life for sure?
Sure. But there are two things that God will give you.
Okay.
Time and opportunity.
Sure.
And so I think sometimes, you know, Paul prays a prayer. He says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened to realize, you know, what is the hope of God's calling.
Mm.
But, you know, just to delve deeper into that, time is the most precious thing that we have. Time is a currency, right? I know in the world we always look for, you know, we want to have more money.
It would be nice,
Right, it would be nice. Sometimes we look for, you know, so many things that we want to amass.
Yeah.
And honestly speaking, if you lost these two things.
Time
and opportunity, you know. That's it.
Sure.
So if there's something that I pray, is that God should always make me realize that one, and that's why I said to you, the first thing that I do is pray.
Yeah.
You know, the first thing that I do is actually thank God.
Yeah.
That, okay, so here I am,
I'm still
awake.
Yeah, there's something.
Okay, so it means that, again, you've given me the grace of time.
Sure.
What are the opportunities that are there that I can leverage on, right? So that I can still continue with the mission that you have in store for me.
The greatest gift your mother left you with?
Faith.
Gift of faith.
Yeah, the gift of faith. That woman believed.
Yeah.
Sure. So she wasn't traditionally Christian like that. You know, mzalwane za, you know.
Mgwango five siyathandana.
No, she wasn't that.
Yeah.
But I remember one day when I attended this this bridging school that I went into, right? I actually did not qualify, right? Because my English marks were not what they were looking for. But she still applied on my behalf because she believed that I would make it. I remember when I received the letter that I was part of those who were shortlisted, my faith levels about what was possible changed from that day.
Sure.
So, faith.
Okay, we're going to go to my wall of wisdom. What's a quote or a verse you live by? I can tell you love Paul. You remind me of my grandfather. My grandfather is such a lover of Paul. He, like, studies Paul. So every time, Mesekaya, when he talks, like, Pumi, upaulo si uti. So I know a lot of Paul stories because he's such, he loves Paul's story. But what's a quote or verse that you live by?
Sure. There's a number of them.
Yeah.
But Matthew 6:33,
seek ye first the kingdom of God,
and all these things shall be added up to you, unto you.
I think that verse saved my life.
I can tell you so many things.
Yeah.
You know, but I know that everything starts with God.
Yeah.
You know? And once you know, look, people's journeys are different.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make it so traditional and churchy and so on, right? But, you know, seek first the kingdom. I think we always sometimes interpret it as though, you know, you must get born again. No. For me, what it says is that seek your place in the kingdom.
Yeah, okay. Right? Seek your place in the kingdom.
In the kingdom.
Ooh.
Because we've got a kingdom,
ooh,
right? If you know what your place is in the kingdom, provision.
I love that you said seek your place in the kingdom. And this is why I love it, because I think for a lot of people, the idea of seeking God means loss of identity.
Yeah.
Like a lot of people feel like, if I do this God thing, I need to give up who I am.
No.
And that's not God. That's not what. No. And I love the way you just put it. Seek your place in the kingdom.
In the kingdom, right?
Sure.
My place in the kingdom is that of a teacher.
Yeah.
And I know I'm a teacher in and outside of the classroom.
Yeah. And he wants you the way you are. You don't first have to be this.
I don't have to put in his court. No. Yeah. I just have to be myself.
Yeah. And the windows of heaven just open up.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. We look at these, you know, miracles that have taken place, you know, in throughout the journey.
Yeah.
But the reality is that these miracles only occur because you know what your place is in his kingdom.
Sure.
Everything else shall be added.
I always think of, I always look at God's abundance, right? And I look at nature, and that's like my metaphor for God.
Right.
And how I liken God is that the only way the flowers, the trees, everything can do what it needs to do is when it's in place. The reason why we have global warming, and that's why it's alarming, is because seasons, there's no alignment.
Yes.
Like things are happening when they shouldn't happen.
Absolutely.
And for us, God loves us so much that he wants our life to be in so much alignment so that he can pour out the blessings at the right, so it can rain at the right time. The sun can shine at the right time. The leaves, the pruning happens at the right time. Everything is beautiful in its
season.
When it's out of season,
that's it.
It's bad.
That's it.
Sure.
That's it.
Book or podcast you recommend?
Yours? book, it's called Good to Great by
Good
Jim Collins.
Great. Okay.
It's a phenomenal book.
Yeah.
He's an incredible author. It's not a Christian book,
traditional
Christian book.
Yeah.
But it's a great book.
Okay.
You know, he's got I think it's a 4-part series of books. One of them is Great by Choice, right?
Yeah.
The choices that lead, you know, to
greatness.
But on the other hand, there's How the Mighty Fall. Ooh, that one, I always read it so that I can, you know, ngiyazilapha.
Yeah, it's
like, hey.
Watch. Okay, you're going to fill in the sentence. A wise woman once said.
Pray.
Who's the woman?
My mother.
Okay.
Pray.
A wise woman said, pray.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you want every boy to know? And I'm going to say every boy because there's a whole thing of we've taken care of the girl child and the boy child is getting left behind. And I strongly believe that because now we're empowering women, but we're not teaching men how to deal with an empowered woman, right? And so what do you want every young boy, young man, to know. Yeah.
That they have a place in this ecosystem of this society that we live in. That without them, life cannot be the dream that we want it to be.
Sure.
So there is much a necessity. I want young men to really remember that we need them.
We need them
as leaders in society.
Yeah.
We need them as, you know, head of households.
Yeah.
We need them as captains of industry.
Yeah.
They have a place too.
And we need them healthy.
We need them healthy. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Holistically healthy.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. You're incredible. This was an amazing conversation.
Yeah.
I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Mpumi. You know, it's so great to have really been invited here.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I continue to celebrate your journey as well.
I have to talk about your Maths and Science Center. Tell me about it quick before we wrap up.
Maths and Science Center, we're based in Honeydew.
Yeah.
So we've got programs that we've got for learners from grade 8 to 12, right? So those programs, maths, science, robotics, and coding.
Sure.
So STEM, just fully STEM, right? But we also will be helping next year. We'll be helping. We have a bridging course that we have that will involve leadership, that will involve entrepreneurship as well. Yeah, so people can actually reach out to us.
Send your
kids. I did say also we've got a program that we've got at the beginning of December for teachers.
Yeah.
You know, I really want to take my time to invest myself into teachers and really, really see ways in which we can cross-pollinate and, you know, exchange ideas and celebrate each other.
So I encourage all teachers, parents, I think especially parents, as parents, if we're the ones who take the initiative and say, my child, I see, like I see it in you. Like here's an institutional place where you can be better at your maths, your science, your coding, your like there's just more of you lose nothing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It's a wrap.